All right, glad you're here tonight. I hear mumbling out there. Sounds like a good mumble, though. Let me share. I want to do something different this month. We've already shared with you that we are going to be talking about biblical worldview this month. And the messages will be given on Sunday morning and for particular portions of that. There's no way we can cover everything. Again, remind you to look into your email tomorrow morning. You should have one each morning to remind you to think biblically. And it'll come from the office. It'll come from Donna's office, so you'll see it from the church. And please read that. And Ron's done a great job of putting those together for us. Thank you, Ron, for that. That being said, on Sunday evenings this month, what I really want to do is I really want to deal with application of what was shared this morning. Now, I have prepared a message. I'm going to share that message. But my hope is, I don't know how it'll work. I don't know if I'll be able to hear you. I don't know if it'll be taped or whatever. But we'll give this a try. As we think about this, what I want you to think about is application in your own life. It's one thing to sit in church and say, yeah, that's good. Amen. All those things. But what does what we shared this morning have to do with how you and I live? So, we begin by doing this tonight. I'm going to ask you if you would bow your head this evening. And I'm sure that we can all come up with several different things that we know are going to come up this week that we need to have a biblical perspective on. Maybe it's an issue that you're dealing with that you know is going to come up again this week. Maybe it's a person that you're dealing with you know is going to come up again this week. Maybe it's a personal attitude that you have that you know is going to, it always comes up every week and something just sort of hits you. Maybe it's a personal sin. Now, I'm not asking you to share all these out, so don't worry about that. But what I am asking you to do is to ask the Holy Spirit to show you which one. We may start with baby step, guys. Let's start with one. That you and I have an intent to deal with it biblically this week. Maybe differently than we've ever done it before. Now, if he gives you several a week, that's fine. But I'm talking about one tonight. Situation, issue, circumstance, another individual, an attitude that you have, maybe a besetting sin that you have to deal with. I'm just asking you to bow your head for a few moments and ask the Holy Spirit to give you that thing, to show you what that is in your own life before we continue in our message time tonight. Holy Spirit, thank you for, as we've gathered here in the name of Jesus, you're here with us. And Father, you want us to know you, and you want us to trust you. So Lord, as you've shown us these things in our own walk, in our own life, I pray that we'll be able to receive what your Spirit has given to us right now, and then by faith, Father, that we would search diligently and we would have the intent of dealing with whatever it is you've given us tonight from a biblical perspective. Teach us to be biblical people. So, Lord, I just thank you for the gift that we have, not only of eternal life, but of everyday life under the leadership and the control of your Spirit. Thank you for your word. What a great gift. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as church people, we have a tendency to believe that we're okay as long as what we believe is okay. What I mean by that is, as long as I can go to a church that I believe is doctrinally sound, is that important? Well, of course it's important. As long as I can go to a church that's doctrinally sound, that's led by someone who's doctrinally sound, and I can spend a little bit of time there, and I can invest a little bit of myself there, maybe invest a little bit of my money, a little bit of my time and stuff, then I think I'm doing okay. church gatherings is not the end all of what we've been called to be. And it does not prove that our walk is what it should be. Now, certainly assembling together to be fed, to be encouraged, to be challenged, to be equipped, all those things are necessary, they're important, and I think it's a wonderful thing. I love being with y'all. But we're not here just to be here. Nor are we here just to get those things so we can sit around and say we got those things. We are here to receive the instruction from the Holy Spirit of God through whatever vehicle He chooses to use, whether it's a song that you sang, whether it's a prayer that you heard, or whether it's a message that was shared, a Sunday school teacher. Maybe sometimes, some Sunday, it's just a brother or sister who comes up alongside of you, and all you need from them that week is that they tell you that they love you, and they're glad that they see you. You know, you didn't get anything out of the message, but maybe that was the thing you got that day. We're not to leave it here. This is not what it's about. This is important. Don't get me wrong. This is not what it's about. What it's about is when we walk through those doors and we live our life out there. And how much impact does God's Word have upon our lives? And as I shared with you this morning, is it really our authority for the way we act and react? For the way we respond to things? For the way we look at the world? For the way we think? For the things that come out of our mouth? For the way we treat other people, whether it's a matter of forgiveness, whether it's a matter of building them up, whether it's a matter of challenging, whatever it may be, whatever the matter may be, is the Bible our sole authority for that? And do we believe, as I just asked you a few moments ago, about you dealing with whatever issue it is, I'm just going to call it an issue, it may be any all kinds of things, whatever it is, do you believe that God's Word has an answer for your issue? Or your situation? Do you actually believe that God's Word has... Let me do that. I said an answer. I don't know what... One of those things. Someone help with my English. Forget it. You know what I mean. Do we believe that God's Word has the answer? Because there's a lot of answers out there. And by the way, there may be some good answers out there. But that's not the question. The question is, what is the best answer? Or maybe what is the exact right answer? Do we believe that God's Word has the right answer for our life? Now, again, we come to a place of honesty. You may be in your walk as a Christian at the place where you don't really believe that yet. You know, that's okay. And what I mean by that, it's okay to be at that place now. And we don't want you to stay at that place. But it's okay to be at that place. That's a great starting point. You know, until we recognize where we are, we're never going to move from there. So if I'm at that starting point where I say, well, I think the Bible has, you know, a lot of good answers, but I don't know if it has the answer for what I'm going through. If I'm honest about that, then that's a starting point. That's a starting point where God can speak to my life. I encourage you to take whatever situation, issue that the Holy Spirit laid on your heart, the one thing, and I encourage you to diligently seek God's Word for your answer. And I genuinely believe that if you do, you will find it. Because God's going to show you that. God's going to show you what that is. Because He intends for us not just to know what the Bible says, not just to memorize the words of the Bible. All those things are important. But to know what it means in everyday life. Wouldn't you agree that in a lot of cases that's what the Pharisees lacked? They certainly could have quoted the law to a lot of people. But the application of that law was missing in so many cases. And we Christians in the modern day church, depending on the church that you go to or have been going to, you may have a lot of Bible knowledge. But Bible knowledge by itself, just being knowledge, is not what it's about. There is that application. Now, you don't have to do this. But I'm wondering, is there someone who would like to share what the Holy Spirit laid on your heart that you would like the church to pray for you, that God would show you the answer to that in His Word? Rick?
I'm just struggling with worry and fear.
Okay.
And some health issues that are probably not life-threatening, but I have turned them into something they're probably not, but yet... I've really been weak, you know, almost pathetically weak.
Okay. Rick Hampton, is ask the church to pray that God would show him in his word. That's where I'm going to challenge you to go for answers for worry. And that we would pray for him that God would show him. Would you pray for him for that? Okay. Someone else. By the way, do you all know that God has answers in his word for worry? Okay. All right. Good. Okay. Anybody else? Chris.
There's a younger man that we know. He's in prison now, and for at least the second time. And he's a bit of a hothead, lost his cool, and he's in there for 3.5 years for aggravated assault. So now he's writing to me these long 4-page letters, and he's got questions, and he wants to know what to do, and I'm thinking, what do I know? It's really a responsibility, and I'm thinking, I have to get everything right here, because he's sort of like really going by what I say up quite a bit, and I have to get it right with the Bible, and it's really a responsibility. I mean, he's got all day to write these letters, and I mean, I'm trying to work, and I have to got another letter piled up I have to write.
Okay.
It's, you know, he's got a girlfriend who, she's gone away from the Lord. What does he do about that, you know?
Oh. Right, so for Chris, for wisdom. I like to see some of you writing these down, because that's what they're asking, to pray. Do you believe that God's wisdom is found in his word to answer this guy's questions? We pray for one another now. Karen.
Non-judgment of my children.
Say that again.
Non-judgment of my children.
Of your children? Okay. That's a real concern. How do you deal with your children or others you care about in a matter of judgment, biblically? God has answers for that? He certainly does. So pray for Karen in that. Rob.
My grandson is moving in with his girlfriend. And, you know, it's a big mistake.
Okay.
I'm trying to give him leadership, and now I'm sending him a book and stuff, but I'd like to pray about that.
Okay. God have answers for Rob as he can speak into his grandson's life? You pray for him for that. Anybody else? Elaine.
I'm trying to make it generic. I'm meaning that right now I have that peace that surpasses all understanding or a decision that has to be made, but I know that I'm going to get beaten on the left and on the right, and I need to stay focused and realize that this is not my battle. God is going to do this, and I just got to trust in Him.
Okay. Guidance, walking the straight path, answers in the Scripture. Pray for Elaine on that. Ken, did you have one?
I was so depressed because all my life, I don't learn like other people. And sometimes people get frustrated with it because I can't get it. Somebody showed me 3 times how to take pictures on my cell phone. I didn't care. But anyway, I was so frustrated. But the same God who wrote the words of God in my mind could teach me other things, what he wants me to, you know, wants me to know. Sometimes it's so frustrating. How can I not remember that?
All right. Pray for our brother Ken. Frustration. Carrie?
Just a difficult situation for my family that I'm having a hard time understanding what to do.
Okay. God's word have an answer for Carrie?
Mm-hmm.
You pray for her. Anybody else? I don't want to shut anybody off. Mary.
I guess just for patience with this boy Zach I talked about. He may have a major understanding of
okay.
His problem.
Okay. For patience.
also would like to get through with patience. I
think you two know you're in trouble. You're asking for patience. So.
You know why I'm not a patient person. quite a few people in the congregation do know that John has a short-term memory loss problem due to his heart surgery. But sometimes I just lose my patience with this man. I love him dearly, but I don't have much patience sometimes when he asks me over and over the same questions. And I give him the same answer, and then he'll ask me again. So I need patience.
And will God give that through His Word? He will. Listen, God inspired the writer of Psalm 119 to give us some wonderful, and there's no way to cover it all tonight, but there is so much in there that I would encourage you that this week, that may, because we're talking about biblical authority, that you might use Psalm 119 this week as part of your devotional things. Maybe in the evening. Maybe read Ron's thing in the morning and in the evening Psalm 119. As much as you feel like reading, God may give you a verse that day. He may give you a whole section of it. It's really crucial that we walk as a biblical people. And if we understand that God's Word has the answers for the different issues of life that we face. And the question is not, does God have the answers? The question is, are we going to trust God that His answers are the right answers? Now please understand this, and I just want to say this. Be very careful, because as we talk about different situations, many of your situations involved other people that were brought up tonight. Right? Some of your situations involve your own personal. Can I say to you that I want you to understand there's a balance here. If for my own personal issues that I might have, if I'm ready to submit to biblical authority and biblical answers for the things I'm going through, that's a wonderful thing. But as you deal with other people, you must recognize that many of those people may or may not submit to biblical truth. Everybody got that? So the question is that, well, that my loved one, this one I'm concerned about, this thing I'm concerned about, is not going to listen to any biblical words I have to say, so it's meaningless for me to do this. It's never meaningless to apply God's Word. And it may impact you, and you have no idea how it's going to impact them. I read a verse this morning. Let me just share that with you again before we get into this. Isaiah 55:11. You remember that one from this morning? Now this is true whether I'm personally going to apply God's Word to the issue that the Holy Spirit gave me that concerns me personally, patience, worry, my walk, that I walk straight, that I walk, all these things that were brought up tonight, and many things in people's mind that they could not bring up tonight. By the way, thank you for everybody who shared. I know you put it out there, and that's sometimes not an easy thing to do. Okay? So whether it involves those personal things or it involves someone else, the Word of God is effective. Okay, here's what it said. Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goes out forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent. That's a wonderful promise that God has given us. As you think about that God's Word is powerful. Okay? So I just want to encourage those, whether you share it or not, if your issue that the Holy Spirit laid on your heart involves someone else, you can't make them believe what the Bible says. But you can walk forth in belief that the Word of God is powerful. And that God is able to take His Word, even if they don't even believe it. This is what's incredible. Even if they don't even believe it, God can take His Word and He can touch their hearts and their life with it. Remember, your call and my call is to walk as biblical people. The result belongs to who? To who? To God. So be very careful that you don't judge God and evaluate whether or not He fulfilled what His Word said He would do. Everybody got that? Because I tried to say that this morning. So often we have this idea of how things ought to end up. We apply as if there's some sort of magical incantation. We apply faith. We apply prayers. We apply the Word of God. We apply all these things because we assume that we know what the end should be. We apply all these things and then we begin to judge God because it doesn't turn out the way we think that it should. God needs to be in control of all this, and the results belong to God. But for our part, especially when it involves other people, we've got to live the word from a point of faith. So in every situation, whether those involved believe it or not, the Bible is appropriate. The truth is appropriate. Now, they may not like you for what you have to say. And they may not believe what you have to say. Doesn't change that it's true. Doesn't change that it's eternal. And doesn't change that it's powerful. That's what we have to remember as we apply God's Word. That's why I ask you, do you believe God's Word can change or can have an impact on each of these situations that were shared and many others that were not shared? Go back to what we said this morning. We believe in God. Do we believe God? Do we believe God? I want to be a man that believes God. I want the church that I'm involved in to be a people who believes God. Now, again, before I move on, there's so many nuances here that I want you to get. It's one thing to say, I believe God. But saying it does not make it so. Where does God begin to work on us? Almost all the time. We said this in our workshop. Where? At the heart. At the heart. That's where God begins to work on us. So my mouth can say something that's not true in my heart. Everybody got that? How many have ever done that? How many have ever done that according to their Christianity? You said something, well, I believe God, and inside your heart's just torn up. You don't believe. You're struggling with that. Okay? My call to you this evening and today specifically is to be honest. God, I believe you. God, help my unbelief. God, I know your word says don't worry, but I need the application of that word in my life so that you might remove that worry and I might trust you. I know your word tells me to walk the right path, but I need the application of that in my life. I know your word has the answers for my family and for situations, for all these things. But again, it's not just the knowledge of that word, it's the application of that word. Take your Bibles, turn to Psalm 119 if you haven't already. And here's what is penned for us. It says this: blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Some thoughts that I want to share with you tonight. What power does God's word applied, or put it this way from this morning, what power does God's word have in my life when I submit to the authority of God's word in every area of my life? The psalmist begins that by reminding us that God's word applied leads to a blameless life. God's word applied leads to a blameless life. When we take God's word off the pages of this book and ask the Holy Spirit to write that truth on our heart, which means to make it a part of who we are, God's truth, God's word, and we submit to God's word and God's truth, where will it always lead us? It will always lead us to righteousness. It will always lead us in God's way. God's word will never lead you contrary to God's way. It will always direct your path and my path in God's way. That's in the very, what I want to say, obvious things that you know, everybody said, well, the Bible says we should not do this. Those obvious things. But it's also in the very subtle things where you may not be able to find a thou shalt not or thou shalt. Okay? And the very subtle things where God's word laid upon our heart becomes that which directs us. I love when you think about God's word. It's eternal. And in the same chapter, go to verse 9 and look what he says here in verses 9 through 16, which applies to this concept. How can a young man cleanse his way? What's the answer he gives you? By taking heed according to your word. Not just knowing your word, not just reading your word, right? but heeding or applying your word. And we all understand, I hope, that's not just young men that need to do that. That's some of us old guys that need to do that too. There is such a... I wish I trusted God as much as I know I need to trust God. Because there... And I don't know why I do this. Maybe you do this too. You trust God. God proves Himself. God does something. He releases you. He sets you free. He comforts you. He encourages you by His Word and all these things. And the next situation comes up and you find yourself doubting and wondering again. Anybody else do that? What's wrong with us? Why do we do that? Okay? How can this young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Verse 10. With my whole heart I have sought you. Now that brings me to the second thing I want you to think about with me. Look, go back to verse 4. Kathy's going to have to stay with me if you're looking just at that. Go back to verse 4 and look at what he says. Your command, you have commanded us to keep your precepts. What's the next word?
Diligently.
And then we go now back to verse 10. With my whole heart, I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. I want to ask you, how's your want to? Did you get that? How's your want to? Do you really want to submit to God's word? Do you really want to respond to His commandments and His ways? I mean, is the want to really there? And maybe you might again say, I don't really know that the want to is there. That's a good place to start. God, I don't really want to do this. Well, start there. And let Him build within you that want to. I think there has to be a desire. Verse 4 talks about diligently. This is not an easy path. Have you figured that out yet? On the short-term basis, the easiest path would be to go the way of the world. But, you know, the end result of that can be pretty devastating. But it is the smoothest and the easiest path. Even Jesus talked about that. The way that leads to damnation is wide and easy. And many will go that way. This requires diligency. This requires a desire to follow God. Now, God will give you everything you need to follow Him if you have that desire. And I think even if you don't have that desire, but you want that desire, isn't that crazy? I want to have a desire. But if you want to have that desire, He will also give you that desire. As you say, Lord, I don't have it now, but I really would like to have it. I would like to have that kind of walk. I would like to have that kind of faith. And that may be where you need to start. God, give me that desire for your word. Give me that desire for your truth. Give me that desire for your commandments. And then don't leave until He gives you that desire. And once He gives you that desire, then you can start moving into the other things. Because now it's become something you have to have. You want. God wants us to know Him more than we want to know Him. God wants to give us more than we want from Him. God is not short and God is not stingy when it comes to His wonderful gifts of grace. And there's a whole multitude we can talk about. He's not that way. He's not withholding. God does not intentionally withhold what we need. There is really a lack of desire on our part when it comes to God's truth. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm like you. In many cases. I can have a desire for that thing which I know will always benefit me and I agree with. But we're talking about the whole counsel of God now. And as I read the book, there are a lot of things in there that if I can say just from a very, you know, common vernacular, that rub me the wrong way. Because I'm still struggling with my flesh. I still struggle with doubt. I still struggle with trusting God. I've yet to meet the person that doesn't do that. I've met a lot of persons that like to put forth that's the way they walk their life, but they're lying. Okay? They're lying. Are there people who have learned it more than others? Of course there are. But I find that the people who have really learned it, again, once again, say, well, they're the ones that really want to be even closer to God. And they don't put forth their so-called closeness to God as some sort of badge that they wear saying, look, I'm closer to God than you are. The ones that are really closer to God are probably the most humble of people who realize how far they are away from God. Not those who try to put forth, you know, me and God, we are like this. We walk together like that all the time. He speaks to me all the time. You want to know what God said? Just ask me. I'm his right-hand man. Be careful of those kind of people. You realize we're all on the same journey. We all have the same struggles. God has certainly given us different personalities, and some of your guys' personalities are just strange to me. I've got to tell you that. They're just strange to me. I don't even know how you function from day to day. But hey, you know. But don't start pointing, Rick. Okay. So you know, but that's a reality, and that's a wonder of God too. But regardless of our personalities, God has so many wonderful things for us. And it doesn't matter what your personality is. God wants to move you and I to the place where we desire God. Where we desire His will and we desire His way. A man by the name of John Piper wrote a book called Desiring God. It's an excellent book. I like it. I don't always agree with every nuance of Piper's theology and stuff. And I'm sure he'll say, I don't agree with every nuance of Pierce's theology. That's fine. But the point is, there's such a call in that book to really have that desire for God. Now, when we look at His Word and we talk about desire here, it's not a desire for the things of God. If you understand God's Word, if we understand God's Word this way, God's Word is not just a set of precepts and a set of promises and a set of proverbs we looked at today and all these kind of things. God's Word are an expression of who He is. They are a revelation of who He is. So it is proper to say, when I desire God's Word, what I'm actually desiring is God. Because His Word is an expression of who He is. They don't just tell who He is, they express who He is. They don't just talk about Him, they reveal who He is. Okay? Now, here's my point. We must be careful that when we get into this desiring thing, that our desire is for God and not for the things of God. We're so good at desiring the things of God and in many times missing God Himself. And the psalmist reminds us of these things. He says, with my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Do you see how he's tied the two together? The commandments of God and God. Who is Jesus? Not merely the Son of God, but the physical expression of all the commandments of God. I did not come to abolish the law, but that the law through me might be fulfilled. That's why in John 1:1 it says, in the beginning was the what? Not the Son, not the Messiah, but the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And here the psalmist here in verse 10 ties these two together. Lord, I've sought you with my whole heart. And he ties in here and he said, don't let me wander from your commandments. God's Word is an expression of who He is. By the way, it's why we can trust it. Because it expresses who He is. It reveals who He is. As I said this morning, it's God breathing, if you will, into this world. The inspiration of that which comes from Him. That's why the enemy hates it so much. And I want to tell you, the enemy doesn't mind that you quote Scripture. As long as you misapply the Scripture you quote. Do you ever think about that? Do you remember when Satan dared to tempt Jesus? Did he not use Scripture? Every cult and every false teaching that you'll run into, every one of them will quote Scripture. Every one of them. God has called us to have such a desire for Him, for His Word, that the truth of His Word permeates our whole being. And it changes us from the inside out. So that when life happens around us, I try to share with you, when life happens, and by the way, life is going to happen. I'm no prophet, and my dad certainly was not a prophet. So I'm not a son of a prophet. But I'm going to tell you this. Some of you are going to have some hard news come to you this year. You say, no duh. Disappointments, heartaches, bad news from doctors at times, people that you've trusted are going to backstab you, misuse you, family members are going to walk away from you, promises and commitments are going to be broken. People that you've entrusted your money, your livelihood, I mean, we go right on down the line. All these kinds of things are going to happen. The question is not, are these good things going to happen? But the question is, how are you and I going to respond to these things as a biblical people? I had one guy, actually even this morning, met me at the back door and said, it was kind of like that. One of those, I just don't know if I believe what you said, because I think, again, I think we need to stand strong. We need to, you know, this. We need to do that. We need to do that. I said, you know what, brother, the point is, are there times when the Word of God tells us to stand strong? Certainly. And in those times, we need to stand strong. Are there times when the Word of God tells us to speak up? Certainly. And we need to speak up. Are there times when the Word of God says, be quiet and trust me? They certainly are. And no matter what our personality is, we need to be submitted to how the Holy Spirit through the Word of God tells us to act or react in any situation. This really is where the rubber meets the road. This is where we begin to live out our faith. He goes on to say in verse 11, your word have I hid in my heart. What's the rest of it? That I might not sin against you. Where have I put His word? Where have I put His word? In my heart. I don't wear it as a lapel pin. I don't wear it as a bumper sticker. I'm talking about your car, okay? I don't wear it that way. Because it stays on my lapel or it stays on my bumper. And it does me no good. Where has God placed His Word, or where does God intend to place His Word? In your heart. Because God always begins dealing with us at the place of the heart. Because it's at the heart that things begin to change. When I read His Word, and I ask the Holy Spirit to give me faith to receive His Word, whatever that word is, I ask the Holy Spirit to place His Word. When I'm saying, Holy Spirit, place God's Word in my heart. Make it a part of the innermost part of my being. So again, that when life happens, it's already there. And my response will be, what's there? Out of the mouth, a person speaks what's in their heart. Everybody got that? I didn't make that up. That's in the Bible. Okay? Out of our mouth. And I could put it this way. Out of our reactions. Out of our actions. Out of our responses, out of the way we treat other people, out of what we say to other people, reveals what's going on in our heart. And truly, there are times that we know how to act a certain way. But over a period of time, time will tell what's in our heart. And now the psalmist says this to the Lord. And this is bigger than just not wanting to sin. It is that matter of being able to respond to life in biblical truth. Your word I put in my heart that I might not sin against you. Lord, I want to respond to life according to your biblical truth. And if I don't place his word in my heart, that's not possible. Many times when life happens, if I got to run to look it up, it's already happened. I've already responded. Right? Or if I got to call the pastor, "Pastor, I need a verse for this." Which is okay. But I think God doesn't want us to be behind the eight ball all the time. He wants us to know his word so that when life happens, it's already there. "Your word I've hid in my heart that I might not sin against you." Verse 12. "Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes." Who can teach us God's truth? Man can try. But if the teacher of this church is merely... if the primary teacher of this church is me, you're in trouble. I'm telling you. Because you know what? I'm as messed up as much as many of you are. Well, maybe not as many as all of you, but... I want you to think about that. It's so wonderful to me concerning the abolition of the priestly setup or system. It really is. It's so wonderful to me that each one of you who are born again are a priest before God. And that our primary teacher as the body of Christ is not the pastor or the associate pastor or the deacons or the Sunday school teacher or the small group teachers, but our primary teacher is the Holy Spirit of God. And the psalmist says, "Lord, I need you to teach me your statutes. I want you to be my teacher." That doesn't mean he doesn't use human instruments. Of course he does. But you want to listen to teachers or pastors or whoever is leading a Bible study. You want to know that they've spent time with God. You want to know that they have the intent to have a life that's surrendered to the Holy Spirit of God, so that what they teach you, they're surrendered to the Holy Spirit of God, so that what you hear comes from the Holy Spirit of God. I would always try to tell you, you'll hear me say things when I teach and stuff. That which doesn't come from the Holy Spirit of God, you can throw that aside. That which comes from him, receive that and apply that. And so the psalmist said, "Lord, teach me your statutes." Then look what happened, verse 13. "With my lips I have declared all your judgments, all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches." Now listen, don't hold the lip thing here merely to lip service. The writer here is saying, with my response to your truth, to your statutes, to your commandments, my life reveals that I put my trust in you and in them. Everybody got that? Not merely lip service. "Lord, I agree. I say I agree. I quote your scripture." It's more than just with our lips. It's more than just with our mouth. It's with the life that we live. I guarantee you that 98% of the problems in the church could be solved if there was a great intent for the people of the church to be a biblical people. Personality issues could be solved if we would just respond biblically and really trust God biblically. You say, "Well, wait a minute. I'm willing to do that, but the person I have a problem with, they're not willing to do that." You ever felt that way? You realize that's not your issue? And it doesn't change your responsibility to respond biblically? You cannot blame another Christian, even another Christian brother or sister, for your lack of responding biblically to what God has said. You can't do it. Now, you might just try to justify yourself and walk away saying, "I tried my best," and they wouldn't. You know, it's time for us to stop trying our best and start responding biblically. "My lips, my life reveal that I trust your judgment, your precepts, your statutes, your commandments, your way, your promises. All of these things I trust by the way that I live my life. Again, church, that's the application. And I'll close it with this. And notice that I didn't spend a whole lot. I didn't get to Psalm 119. It is all marked up, what I want to share with you tonight. I can't do it. Look, verse 15 and 16, and I'll close with this thought. I will meditate upon your precepts. You know what meditation means? We're afraid of that word because we think of the Eastern mysticism and stuff like that. You know what? Meditation in this case just simply means I'm going to receive them. I'm going to spend time with them. I'm going to consider them. I'm going to think on them. I'm going to make them a part of the way that I think. I'm going to meditate upon your precepts and contemplate your way. And finally he says, verse 16, I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your words. That does not mean that you have to know chapter and verse, word for word, memorizing all the word. But what it does mean, when he says, I will not forget your word, it means I will not forget what your word has said to me. And as I hide that word in my heart, I will apply that word. I will not forget it. I will apply that word as life happens to me. Now, before we close tonight, close this thought of this biblical worldview that starts with an understanding of biblical authority. That's what today's all about. A couple of things. We know, I believe we know the power of God's Word. If I was to ask you, do you believe that God's Word is powerful? When I had you do the exercise earlier, the point of bringing those things up and then take them to the Word of God is because you and I would say, we believe God's Word is powerful. So we agree with that. God's Word is powerful. It cleanses our ways. It guides us in all those things. Here is the rub for us. And I believe this is where most of us are at the second point of even my message tonight. What's your desire? Or how did I put it? How's your want to? I think this is a place for us to start. God placed in me a desire to be a biblical man or a biblical woman. Place in me a desire to place your word in my heart so that when things happen, that's what flows out. And no matter what happens, to be so equipped as you, Lord, teach me these things that I'm able to trust you even in the midst of the greatest storm because you're God and your words are true and they're eternal. And because you're God and they're your words, I can depend upon you no matter what life throws at me. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads tonight. Would you spend just a couple of moments? Start at that place as you pray before God tonight, that place of desire. Remember, be honest. Be honest with Him. He knows, so you might as well be honest. What place of desire, or how much desire do you have for God's Word? Not just to read it, not just to know it, but the application of it. How much desire do you and I have to walk as a biblical people? And whatever that is right now, take that to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, here I am. And I need for you to give me the desire that you desire for me to have. Lord, I desire to know. I desire to understand. I desire to trust what your word says in every event and circumstance of life. Place your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Thank you, Jesus, for our time together tonight. And Father, I know this is not the ending. This is not all-encompassing, the ending thing about the authority of God's Word. But Lord, I thank You for being with us today and speaking to our hearts. And Lord, I thank because we've gone to Your Word, this is a great starting point for us. Give us understanding. Holy Spirit, teach us. Give us Your desire. Let us walk as Your people in every area, in every event of life. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.